Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
Well, again, welcome to Christ Covenant. We're so glad that you're here with us. Man, it's going to be a great, great, great day. And if you're new around here, maybe you're thinking, like, what is a Vision Sunday? I've heard a little bit about it. I saw a photo wall in the lobby as I came in. And maybe you're even thinking to yourself, which would be easy to do, like this church, like, are they changing their vision today? Like, did they just start? Like, what's going on? And so I just want to go on record and let you know, because we do actually one or two Vision Sundays every year. And we do not change our vision every Vision Sunday. We have one vision. And by the way, we are not a cult, okay? I know we're all wearing the same t-shirt, all right? Just letting you know, that's free for you. But that's our vision. We want to get it in front of you as many times as we can, heaven full and hell empty. We want to stay simple. We want to stay laser focused. And so the reason why we have Vision Sunday every year or a couple of times a year is because I want to remind you of our vision. Like, I don't know if you've heard the stat before, but sometimes it takes us 7 times hearing the same thing before it sinks in. Now, for somebody who speaks for a living, that's not a great stat, y'all. But I just want to make sure I get it in front of you as many times in as many ways as I can. So here's what we're going to do today, and here's what we do every Vision Sunday. We celebrate. In fact, you have my permission to amen and applaud. If you like it, you can let me know that you like it as we celebrate some things here today. But also, I've got a message to preach that I think is going to challenge you and encourage you in your personal walk with the Lord. And then last but not least, we've got some big announcements to share, really just what the next few months are going to look like. I've even got a personal exciting announcement to share with my church family today. So it's going to be good, and we're going to have some fun together. And so let me just tell you this from the pastor to you. You can see the vision behind me. We will always be a church that does whatever we can to fulfill that vision. Like, we will always be a church that we're just trying our best, not just with our words, with our actions, with our finances, to reach one more person, one more family for Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen in God's house? Well, why do you do Superhero Sunday like last week? And why do you bring out petting zoos for different events and inflatables? And why do you give away free shirts? Why do you do these things? I'm telling you, friend, we're doing whatever we can to get people in the house so they can hear about Jesus, the one true God. And I get excited about that. I know I got a lot of people here today. You get excited about that as well. And these last several weeks leading up to today, I've been praying a lot for you and for our church. I've been thinking a lot, celebrating even in my heart first, like, God, what you've done. My wife and I, my family and I, we've been here a little less than 2 years, and we've seen God do a lot of incredible things. We'll highlight some of those in here in just a moment. But I've also been praying and thinking, like, God, what do you have next for us? What is right around the corner? And by the way, that shouldn't just be a church thing. You should do that individually, asking God, like, God, what's your vision for my life? What's next for me? And here's something that I've realized about vision, and it's very interesting to me. Maybe it will be to you as well. But as churches grow in general, and we're growing, as churches grow, people, a lot of times we're under the assumption that as a church grows larger, the church should be adding more ministries to its agenda, to its list. And I don't know if you found this to be true, but I definitely have. I've been doing this for a little over 10 years. And there's this assumption that we have, well, we're larger now. There's more finances now. We're getting healthier now. There's more people now. So we should do more stuff. But I want you to know, friend, that's actually not, or should not actually be the case. The larger we get, the simpler we actually must become. Because the larger that we get, so often, you've seen this in churches, we get spread out so thin that we're actually not accomplishing the vision that we had to begin with. And people, we're funny. Y'all know this to be true. Like, people just get so antsy, like why aren't we doing this? And why aren't we doing that? Like people are like, you know, it'd just be awesome, you know, if we just one day just did a ministry for blind cats. It would just be incredible. And I love cats, and it would be awesome if we just did that. I mean, just caring for God's creation. This would just be an awesome thing. And oh, it'd just be great if we could, you know, have a Jewish ministry for third cousins. Like, it'd just be awesome. I feel like third cousins are left out far too often. It's all about the first cousin and the second cousin. And I just got news for you, friend. I'm pretty sure that cats and third cousins do not go to heaven, okay? So just like putting it on the record, man, y'all are getting real nervous, okay? I'm joking. Cats go to heaven. I'm joking. I'm going to get emails later. But we have all these different things. We wish we would do this, and we wish we would do this. No, I don't want to lead that ministry. You can lead it, but I just wish you would do all these things. And so often, we get so sidetracked. But again, Vision Sunday, the goal is to get us all back to the same vision, the same voice, the same mission. If it does not help us most effectively accomplish our vision, we aren't doing it. And so we've got to push that to the side, that assumption, and stay focused on the main thing. We must stay laser focused. In fact, I want to do something a little bit different today. And I know people get nervous when I start talking like that, but it is going to require crowd participation. I'm not going to make you stand up and testify, okay? So let those nerves get down for a moment. But you do got to use your voice, okay, right where you're seated. So we're going to try something, and I think it's really going to help. Now, I want everybody here in a moment, I'm going to count to three, and I want everybody here in the room, and if you're watching, listening online, you play along too, but on the count of three, I'm going to ask everybody, and I want you to participate, to shout your favorite color, okay? This is going to do an exercise here, it's going to help. So on the count of three, you're going to shout your favorite color, not your spouse's, not your friend that brought you, like your favorite color, okay? So humor me, help me out as loud as you can. Let's wake up our neighbors right in the neighborhood next to us. On the count of three, shout your favorite color. One, two, three. That was interesting. Okay, this is good. This is good. Now, not everybody participated, okay? You know who you are. Let me remind you that in the same way you can see me, I can see you, okay? And so I'm just praying that everybody this next time you'll participate. So your favorite color, okay? And we got some people in this section a little late, okay? So let's just all stay on the same pattern here. On the count of three, your favorite color. One, two, three. Okay, that was gibberish. Okay, I don't know what you said. There was a lot of different things going on. In fact, some of you are really passionate, and I love your passion. But even though you got a lot of passion, even though you got a lot of effort, I could not understand anything that you were saying. So let's try something different. On the count of three, I'm actually want you to shout out God's favorite color. And it's on record. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, okay, that God's favorite color is blue. Okay, you looked at the sky recently, you looked at the water, not in Galveston, but water in other places, it's blue, okay? And so on the count of three, we're gonna try it a little bit different. I want you to shout out blue, all right? One, two, three. Blue. Come on, let's do it again. One, two, three. Blue. Okay, now let's get really weird and really uncomfortable. On the count of three, I want you to still say blue, but will you whisper it with me? It's gonna be real weird. Just embrace the awkwardness, okay? You're gonna whisper it. One, two, three. It was weird, wasn't it? In fact, I'm thankful that nobody walked in at that moment. Can you imagine? We're all wearing the same shirt and we're whispering blue. I think we'd all turn around and leave at that moment. Here's what I'm trying to prove. There's a point to this. Even though a lot of us had passion at the beginning and we put a lot of effort in, because we were all saying this different things, I couldn't understand anything that you were saying. But at the end of that, when you were all shouting and even whispering the same thing, it was powerful. I could understand it. I could hear it. It even changed the atmosphere in the room. Friend, this is how vision should work. That when people talk to you about your church, when you think about our mission and our purpose, we should all be shouting and whispering the exact same thing. It's not power in one voice, it's power in a lot of voices speaking and saying the same thing. This is what Vision Sunday is all about. And if you've been around, you know that God is doing a great work in our house. We're not bragging on us because none of us are smart enough and creative enough. None of us have enough energy. Like, it's all God, what he's doing. He is building his church. And so I'm going to share a couple of things. I don't have time for many because I got a lot to say and a little time to say it. But I'm going to share a couple of things of what God's doing. And if you like it, again, you can applaud, you can clap, you can amen, and we can celebrate and worship our God because he's the one that's doing it. But I get excited, and I know heaven does as well. And I'm so thankful that in less than 2 years, we'd had over 290 salvations and rededications in this house in our services. Like there's a party going on in heaven every time one person gives their life to Christ. And here's the cool thing about this. This is not just a big number. Like these represent people. In fact, people here in this room, some of you are a part of that number. Not just that, but you have friends and family members and neighbors and coworkers that you've invited, that you brought, like you bribed them. Hey, I'll buy you lunch if you come to church with me. And they came and God got a hold of their life. And I'm telling you, that's something worth celebrating. A lot of you don't know this, but every single Wednesday night, we have youth ministry here at our church. It's on our campus upstairs. Some of you are like, I didn't even know we had an upstairs. We do. Okay. I don't know if you're clapping for upstairs or youth ministry, but it's all good. I'll take it. And so this last Wednesday night, we had a special event, an outreach event called Glow Night. And we've got some small groups that meet here, and they know, they can attest to this. So we had loud music playing, and we were having a good time. We had games and giveaways, and it was just awesome what happened. But it all was a ploy to get students here so they could receive the gospel message. And so not only did we have a ton of students up there and young adults, but we also had five teenagers give their life to Jesus Christ this last Wednesday night. I don't know about y'all, but I love that. That's incredible what God's doing. Another thing that just blows my mind, and I know it gets you pumped up just like it does me, but even though we're a church revitalization, that even though God is doing a new thing and we got a long ways to go, God has so blessed our church, not just with increase in numbers, but also in finances, as you, the people of God, are being faithful to God's house. And I just want to brag on God for a second. I actually shared this a couple of months ago, but this current fiscal year, this year that we're in, the church operates October through September. This current fiscal year, the elders and I budgeted 9% missions giving into our operating budget. Like, that's an incredible thing. Here's why. We don't just want to be a church that you give to. We want to be a church that you can give through. We want to support missionaries locally, internationally. In fact, I told you that we were adding two missionaries to our monthly sending out. And I got good news for you today. We picked two great organizations. Number one, we picked an organization in Thailand that is spreading the gospel, that is planting churches, that is bringing jobs to an impoverished land. But not just that, the second one is we're actually now supporting ARC, A-R-C, Association of Related Churches. They do church planting all throughout the United States and then also in Houston. Here's why I tell you this. We are not just a church that says we support other churches with our lips. It's more than lip service, y'all. We're actually pouring finances into church plants all around our city and our nation. Isn't that awesome? So many of us, we've been praying for churches to support each other. Well, we want to put our money where our mouth is and actually sow in and invest in, because y'all, we're all on the same team. We are all on the same team. I can go on and on of what God's doing with our Connect groups. We have the most groups ever offered in semester. I can keep bragging on God and talking about our growth and weekly attendance, our grand opening of our newly renovated building, launching church online and Spanish translation. Shout out to y'all listening and watching. But I think, again, it's important that we always remember the one. The one. Because as we keep growing, it's easy to look past the individual or the family. But God sees us individually, friend. He knows your life. He knows your struggles. He knows your heart. He knows exactly where you're at. Some of you cried yourself to sleep last night. And I want you to know, God sees you. God knows you. And God loves you. It's not just numbers and statistics. What do we say all the time? In fact, it's on our wall. You can't see it right now because there's a photo wall in front of it. But every number has a name. And every name has a story. And every story matters to God. And it should matter to us. And I'm telling you, we're that church. It matters to us. We see people and not just the crowd. And so here's how I want to transition. I want to pray, and I want to pray and give God glory for what he's done, but I also want to pray that God would ready our hearts for the message that I'm going to share and then also some of those next steps we're going to take. So would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes? Lord, we love you so much, and we're so thankful to be a part of your church. And we know this, you're the one that builds your church. And the gates of hell will not prevail. And so I pray, we pray, in the same way that we've seen great things in the history of our church and even the recent history, these last 23 months. God, I pray even now that you would raise our faith level, not just to focus on the past, but to look to the new thing that you want to do. Not to add complicated ministries and tactics to what we're doing, but God, to actually get simpler, to get more focused than ever before, to keep the main thing, to do whatever we can to see one more person, one more family come to know you, to do whatever we can to see one more person and one more family grow in their relationship with you. God, in fact, that's your mission for the church, that you would grow your family. And so I pray that you would continue to help us to do that. God, as I get ready to share from your holy word, I pray, God, that we would have open hearts to receive it. God, this is a word that's not just for our church, but I believe if we apply it to our lives individually, God, it will bring needed change and a better perspective. So help us to see things how you want us to see them. We give you not just this church's future, we give you our personal future. Have your way in this place and us. And if you agree with me, would you say amen? Amen. Amen. If you follow along on the YouVersion Bible app, or if you have a physical copy of the Bible, turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. A familiar passage for some. This is not a complicated message. Again, we're going to keep it simple. But Galatians chapter 6, and we're going to read it together. I'm going to share a few things, then I'll talk about the next few months. Galatians chapter 6, I'm going to start in verse 7, and I'm going to get started because of time. It says this in God's holy word, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction." And for those of us that have done that before, we can testify that is true in our lives. "Whoever sows to please the Spirit, the better response from the Spirit will reap eternal life." Verse 9, some of you memorized this verse as a kid growing up in church. "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest." Somebody say harvest. "We will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." A simple and powerful passage from God's holy word. And if you're taking notes, I hope you'll jot this down because I want to jump right in. Number one is this: it may be small now, but it still matters. Apply this to the church. Apply this to your personal life. It may be small now, but it still matters. And I'm about ready to preach, y'all. I'm not constricted by my suit. I'm a little bit more casual today. So y'all better watch out. Part B of verse 7, "A man reaps what he sows." Can I point out the obvious to you, friend? Everything big first started small. Everything big first started small. Every giant oak tree started out as a little acorn, friend. Everything significant had seemingly insignificant beginnings. And all of that's true, but here's the problem. Sometimes as Christians, we won't even start sowing because the seeds are too small. Let's just get real. We live in a culture, and I can struggle with this too, where everyone wants to do something big, and you got to say it like that, big, and so we won't get started with the small thing right in front of us. Want my life to be big, want my business to be big, want my bank account to be big. We want big. Y'all know what we say about Texas. Everything is bigger in Texas. We want it big, and we miss that small thing in front of us. But I'm just praying for you, for myself, for our church, that we would begin to change our thinking, that we would begin to plant with the harvest in mind. You could actually say today that God does want us to sweat the small stuff, to be faithful with what's in front of us. Can I tell you something, friend? Big can be right where you are right now. Right where you are right now. Hear the heart of God from this passage and many other places. You will never, never do something significant for God unless you first value small. It's about faithfulness, faithful in the little things. Think about it. You were real happy with your Toyota Corolla until your cousin got a Tesla. You were real happy with your apartment until your sister got in house. You really liked your job until you got passed over for that promotion. What are you trying to say, Pastor? Big is a state of mind. Like what I'm doing now, it is big. What you're doing now, it is big. We must embrace the big thing that's actually right in front of us. It's not really a seed, it's a potential harvest right there in front of you. I love how one pastor puts it. God will not multiply what you fail to maximize. So true. So true. God will not multiply what you fail to maximize. This is what we're trying to do here at Christ Covenant. In fact, it's the lesson I've been teaching our elders and our staff. Like, in fact, that's what excellence means. Doing the very best with what you have. So you have no kids and you want two kids or three kids, or you're crazy and you want a whole baseball team. I don't know. But you stay faithful with what you're at and you keep trusting God that He will bring the harvest. You don't like how your business is going right now? You keep trusting God and believing that God will bring the harvest. Let's make this practical. The next time, and for many of us, it will happen later today. I know it will happen for me. The next time that you are doing something that seems small, and the next time that you're doing something that seems insignificant, I'm challenging you to actually say out loud that this is big. Apply this to your life. The next time you drop off your kid at school on time, and there's no cheering section to celebrate your name, there's no one giving you a gold star or a cookie, like you are incognito. The next time that happens, before you pull off, you should say out loud, friend, this is big. The next time that you and your family get to church and no one murdered each other on the way over, you should shout out loud, this is big. Amen. Amen. Y'all are awesome. We're having some fun today. Y'all don't egg me on like that. It's going to get crazy in here. Next time you sit down for a family meal together and TV is off and cell phones have been put up, you should say out loud, this is big. Next time you show up to serve in a kid's classroom, in the cafe, in our tech arts department, in any of the ministries we have, and no one announces your name and no one gives you a check. Wait, we don't get paid for volunteering. No, you do not. The next time you show up and you got a couple of kids in the classroom or you got 10 people on your team, you should say out loud, this is big. To not miss the potential harvest that is there. This is for somebody today. The next time you feel like quitting but you don't quit, you should say out loud, this is big. Come on, somebody say it with me. This is big. This is big. It may be small now, but it still matters. I'm going to start scattering some seed, and guess what? You should too. I'm going to build God's kingdom. I will not forsake small beginnings. Here's the second point, number two. It will happen in due season. It will happen in due season. This is part B of verse 9, for at the proper time. If you got a Bible with you, hard copy or digital copy, if you're able to highlight that phrase, circle it, star it, whatever you got to do, for at the proper time. Now the NIV, what we're reading from today, this is what it says, proper time. Other translations actually say in due season, but it's the same idea regardless. But the idea is maybe a little different than what you're used to. You see, as you study the New Testament, kind of the second part of the scripture, as Jesus is getting ready to come on the scene, and he comes on the scene, and the New Testament church is birthed out of that. As you study the New Testament, there's basically, practically, two different versions or basic meanings of time. And I want to teach you a little bit before I preach some more. But first, you have chronos, time. I hope you'll jot this down. This is the original Greek language. You have chronos, and chronos is the view that most of us think of when we think of time. It's linear, it's sequential. I hope you'll write this down. It's linear, it's sequential. This is the time on the clock. Praise God, this is the time that we fell back on to get an extra hour of sleep. Anybody enjoy that last night? I know I did. Like, this is linear, sequential, time on a clock, time to be used on a calendar. Think chronological. I was born here. I had some big moments in my life. Got married here, had kids here, did this thing and that thing, and then eventually this is when I passed away. It is past, present, and future. Again, this is how humanity, us, this is how we view time. But as you study, this is actually not the word that the Apostle Paul, the author of Galatians, uses, because there's a second meaning of time. He uses the word kairos. Again, I hope you'll write this down. Kairos. And kairos means the right time or appointed time. And this is exactly what Paul is talking about. And there is a big difference. You see, Paul knew something that maybe you don't know, that God himself, he actually operates and exists outside of time. God can be anywhere all at once. He can see the past, present, and future all at once. He operates outside of time. Literally, he is not bound by chronos time like we are. You can think about it this way. Chronos time counts minutes, but kairos time captures moments. That's the difference. So what's Paul saying? Here's what he's saying. If you scatter seed for God, you will see a harvest, but not on your timetable, not according to your clock. He's saying that you work hard, but you also keep trusting the God of seasons. He's saying that as you keep working and as you keep trusting at the exact right moment, he will show up. Again, apply this to your life. If you got kids, you keep pouring into your kids. You keep praying for your kids. And at the appointed time, the right time, the kairos time, they will turn to God. You keep sending out resumes and you keep praying. And at the right time, the appointed time, God will open the door. What's the takeaway truth from point number two? We must stop holding God accountable for our timetable. Last time I checked, Father knows best. We remember a little bit of the past. We understand a little bit of the present. And it's our best guess for the future. But God sees it all and knows it all, past, present, and future, right now. We should trust his timing. Here's the third point. Number three. If I don't give up, it will grow. This is great news. Apply it to your life. If I don't give up, it will grow. Let's read all of verse 9 again. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if, somebody say if. If we do not give up. If we do not give up. There's so many great truths in Galatians chapter 6 here. We could talk about the harvest and we have, and we could talk about the great things God does and we have and we should, but there is a qualifier in verse 9. It's a qualifier that God will bring a harvest. God will do all these things if, And friend, I want you to take note of what comes after the if. If we do not give up. What's God saying? God will bless and anoint your work for him if you don't give up. And I've said this many times, I'm on record, that so often people give up right before the miracle. So often people give up right before their breakthrough. Why? Because they're stuck on Chronos time and not Kairos time. They're focused on what they can see and what they can predict and not how God operates. And so God gives us some very important truth here, that if we do not give up, it will grow. There will be a harvest. And so I want to encourage somebody today. I want to encourage you to not dare give up, to not wave that white towel. I'm speaking into somebody's world today. Don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up on your kids. Don't give up on your grandkids. Don't give up on your friend. Don't give up on your family. Don't give up on God's faithfulness. I'm speaking to somebody's soul today. If you're not dead, God's not done. If there is air in your lungs, there is purpose running through your veins. God has a plan for your life. You need to start scattering seed again. You need to start believing God again. You need to start praying for that person again. It's been years, I know, but start again today. If I don't give up, it will grow. Keep following Jesus. Keep throwing seeds. Stay faithful. Keep showing up. Keep giving. Keep serving. Stay trusting, and God will bring the harvest. So on Vision Sunday, this is our heart. We're going to sweat the small stuff. We're going to stay focused. We're going to keep scattering seed. We're going to keep trusting that God's the one that brings the increase. And he's increasing us. I mean, you can see it. But God's not done. Because last time I checked, you and me, we're not dead. And if you are dead, let us know. We'll pray for you. Like, for real, I believe in some resurrection. I do. Like, God's not done. We will not sit back and just pat ourselves on the back. This is great. We've grown some. Like, we've got more people to reach. So if you've never asked God what's next for you and your family, I hope and pray you'll start today. He has a vision for your life personally, but he also has a vision for our church. So I want to share with you a few things quickly, and then I got a personal announcement I want to share exciting at the end. But I want to share a few things with you. And at Church Revitalization, let me teach you a little bit more. I'm thinking and I'm praying long, like long term. But the truth is, it would be unwise of me to share too much involving around that with you right now. And the reason why it'd be unwise is because it sounds ridiculous. And God's still working on me because I'm like, God, are you sure? So if I'm not ready for it, then I don't think our church is ready for it. So in a church revitalization, we're thinking a few months out because a lot's changed this last year. We've grown so much this last year. We got to really make sure that we're not getting ahead of God. So I'm just going to lay out the next few months with you. And some of it's repeat of what we've done. And you're going to be tempted to think, well, can we go back to that Jewish ministry for third cousins? Can we go back to that ministry for blind cats? No, that's somebody else's ministry. It ain't our ministry, okay? And so we want to stay so focused. We want to stay simple. We want to do everything that will have the most potential impact for the kingdom. So next few months. First thing is this. We did this last year for the first time. I'll hold in my hand an act of kindness card. I think y'all jumped ahead a little bit there. You can go back one. Y'all just got a sneak peek. What's after acts of kindness? If you don't have the slide, just don't show it. Just keep it black. But it says on the front, and these are actually in the back as you exit, something extra to show you God loves you. One thing that we pray is that we would be a church that doesn't just say God loves you, but we show God's love to you. Now, we're going to preach it and we're going to say it, but how many of you know it means a lot more to people when you show it? And so the whole idea of this, we did this last year, is through the entire month of November, we're on the third today, the entire month of November,
that each of us, my family included, we would grab some of these. Again, they're in the back. If you're watching, listening online, email us, info@christcove.net, and we'll send you some of these in the mail. That we would go out into our communities, in our neighborhoods, and we would connect the good deed, the act of kindness, with the good news to meet the physical need, but also the spiritual need. On the back of the card, it's a little information about our church and when services are and all that kind of stuff. In fact, tomorrow on our website, we're going to have a whole page that you can click to that will give you ideas. Oh, you could bake cookies. You could bring in your neighborhood for a block party and hand these out afterwards. You could do all these different things. You could pay for the person's Starbucks behind you in line and give this to the barista at the window for them to hand to them. There's so many ideas we're going to put on the website, but we want to be God's feet and God's hands. Connect the good deeds with the good news. The next one you already saw if you're here in the room, but we'll also have a special Christmas offering on Sunday, December the 15th. And if you're new around here, let me explain this quickly. We have a different philosophy when it comes to offerings above and beyond the tithe. And I made a commitment 2 years ago, been here 23 months. So I made a commitment to the church when I first came here that we would do things a little bit differently. Not that other ideas are bad, but just what God's called us to. And just 2 or 3 times a year, we have these opportunities. I present the opportunity. There's always going to be need. I present the opportunity to you well in advance. I ask you to pray about it, to think about it. If you're married, you better talk to your spouse about it. And to make a decision before God together to listen to God and do what he says. I cast the vision, but I tell you, and I'll tell you again, we will move at the speed of your generosity. So I'm going to share with you a couple of things that we're planning to do, but none of this has been promised. In fact, our goal, and it will take a miracle to reach this, but we serve the God of miracles. Our goal on that Sunday in one day above and beyond the tithe is to reach $10,000. And if we're able to reach that goal, then we'll do all the things that I'm about to tell you. If we go below that, then we'll figure out how we work amongst them. If we go beyond that, we'll give more to those areas. So this will focus on Christ Covenant Church, local and international missions. One of the things that we want to do is we want to fund a benevolence ministry that we have here. We don't put it into our budget. Every special offering, typically, we have an opportunity for you to give towards that. What's the benevolence ministry? It's Christ Covenant Church stepping beside church members who are in financial crisis. In fact, there's people in this room. Of course, I would never say who you are publicly. Never do that. But there's people in this room that we've helped you in financial crisis, and we want to continue to do that. Another one, y'all know this is big on my heart if you've been around for a little while, is we want to help end human and sex trafficking. It's a huge problem in our world. Why do you care about that, Pastor? Because God cares about it. That's why. Every human life has value. So we've given to A21 before, and we've given to that nonprofit, and they do stuff across the globe. But as I prayed and sought the Lord, I really felt like God was, for this offering, that God wanted us to laser in on Houston, the city that we're in. You probably don't know this because you won't normally see it on the news, but Houston, we are actually a hub for human trafficking. It's horrible. In fact, I'm going to share a couple of things. I'm not trying to move you emotionally. I just want you to be aware. This is an epidemic. In Texas, we'll start in Texas and then we'll move to Houston. There are 313,000 victims of human trafficking in Texas alone. If you focus on Houston, this just breaks my heart. If you focus on Houston, there's an average of almost 3,000 men who visit brothels every single day. Like that will happen today. Well, where are these places? You know, there's many of them on Highway 6, right by our building. So we want to help fund an organization, a nonprofit called Elijah Rising. I think their website's elijahrising.org, because many of you want to check that out. But they focus their efforts, and they do it all. They bring awareness, they rescue, they rehabilitate, they do it all. But they focus their efforts here in Houston. You can do van tours to actually see those brothels, and it's just a horrible thing, but we have an opportunity, friend, to step up and be the hands and feet of Jesus, to bring love. Another one that we want to pour into because we want to help fund the delivery and build of a bunkhouse for men. It's a part of an incredible drug rehab ministry in Mexico. It's a really incredible thing. In fact, this ministry, they have over 100 men that are right now, I believe, sleeping on dirt floors there in Mexico. And we've got an opportunity through the help of someone who helps lead our missions, Dan Lowry, to do a creative thing to help bring some support and some assistance there. We want to send a mailer to thousands of homes for our special Easter service and do some social media marketing. And by the way, just so you know, if you're here last year for Easter, I guess this current year, you know this, but we ran out of space at Easter. We had chairs, even our nasty chairs, to the back of the room. Like, we got some nasty chairs in storage. Like, you're kind of snickering right now, like literally, like spider webs, like hanging with like the sacks of like spiders, like there, like literally. I didn't tell you then because people would have left, but I'm telling you now. The chairs you're in, you're good, okay? But like, we brought out all the chairs to the back. Our kids' rooms were full. Our parking was full. And so I just want you to know, this is on record and this is a big step for us. I'm just telling you, it's going to happen. We will have more than one service for this upcoming Easter 2020. We will. Why would you do that? Because we want to reach more people. We want more people to know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We're also going to step in January of 2020 into another season of 21 days of prayer and fasting. We do this every year. We pray and feast, we say, in August. We pray and fast in January, but here's something different. In fact, I don't know if you've went to the next slide yet. We're also going to have a Christmas service. And yeah, go to 21 days of prayer. I'm flying through here. You guys are doing great in the back. 21 days of prayer and fasting. The reason why I want to highlight this is we're going to do something different at the end. Normally, we end that season church-wide of praying and fasting. Normally, we end it on a Saturday, but this time we're going to end it on a Sunday, the 26th of the Sunday. And here's why. We're going to do something for the first time ever called an encounter service, an encounter night. Some of y'all remember the Sunday night Holy Ghost services. We're going to have a Sunday night Holy Ghost service for our encounter night. It's going to be extended worship. We're going to pray for miracles. We're going to pray for people to receive the power of God. I mean, it's going to be an incredible service. We'll have child care for your kids. We don't call it child care on Sunday mornings because we're teaching your children the Word of God, but it will actually be child care that night. We'll have pizza and a movie for them. I mean, it's going to be an incredible opportunity. And think about it, friend. Our church coming off of 21 days of prayer and fasting and ending it at a powerful service together, you better show up with some expectation in your heart that God's going to move and God's going to do a miracle in your life. I definitely don't have a slide for this one because I want to share something personal real quick and then we're going to pray. And I'm excited about it all, but I'm excited about this too. Maybe you know that my wife and I, we came 23 months ago, like I've said several times, this service, but we brought with us one kid and one baby inside Isabel's stomach, if that's not awkward, the way I said it. Just, she was pregnant, okay? And so we have two children. We've got a six-year-old and an almost two-year-old. And I'm just excited to let my church family know that not only is our church growing and expanding, but the Weems family is growing and expanding. Wouldn't that be so messed up if I was like, psych? I'm kidding. My 80s friends, y'all remember psych. No, she's pregnant. She's 3 months pregnant. And so we'll be a party of five, May 2020. And what's really cool is, you know, there's some ways that aren't so fun to see God's church grow, but this is a fun way to grow God's church. So if you're married, help us grow the church And it'll be fun. You'll thank me for it, but we'll keep expanding the kingdom. All right, I want you to do this. Why don't you close your eyes right where you're seated? Lord, we love you so much. And man, I had so much to share, and I had to fast forward through some of it, Lord. But we just thank you again for what you're doing. With every eye closed, I pray right now, Lord, if there's anybody underneath the sound of my voice, pray for anybody that's far from you. God, it would be a travesty if on Vision Sunday we didn't give people a chance to surrender their life to you. In fact, every Sunday since I've been here, we will always give an opportunity for people to surrender their life to you. So with eyes closed, no one stirring, please. If you're here today in this room or you're listening or watching online, as you examine your life and you look to what's happening and what's taking place, maybe there's some guilt that rises up. Maybe there's some fear because maybe you're not so sure where you'll be one day when you cross over into eternity. Maybe you're here today underneath the sound of my voice and you think back to even this past week. You are not living your life committed and surrendered to Jesus. In actuality, you're your own God. Calling the shots, making the decisions, all consumed with yourself, your career, your life. Maybe there's some people here today that as you examine, as you look back, you're far from the Lord. There's sin in your life. And sin is a church word we use all the time, but we really don't understand it all the way often. Here's what you need to know, friend. Sin, our sin, is what separates us from God. You can almost picture it as a wall that we build between us and the Lord. And what people have done throughout history is we've tried to tear down that wall ourselves. Well, if I could just be a good person, well, if I could just do more good than bad this upcoming week, then I'll feel better about myself. Well, if I could just volunteer, if I could just put a little bit in the offering plate, if I could just do these things, it would make me feel better, and then maybe God would approve. But can I tell you the best news you will ever hear? The only way that that wall will be knocked down is because of what Jesus has done, not what you can do. I don't care how strong you are. I don't care how much money you have, how much you serve and volunteer. You will never be good enough. But Jesus is. He has paid the price, the penalty for my sin and for your sin. And all you have to do today is surrender your life to Him, and He will crush down that wall. So no one looking but me, please, if you're here today, you're listening, you're watching online, and you're far from the Lord, I want to give you that chance, that opportunity. Not going to embarrass you, not going to make you stand up, but right where you're seated, would you lift up your hand? Hands all over. Thank you so much. Keep it up for a moment. God, you're so good. Respond online. Keep it up. Keep it up. God sees you. God knows you. Lord, thank you for seeing us. Thank you. You can put your hand down. I want you to keep your eyes closed. I'm going to lead you in a prayer of surrender, of commitment to Jesus. A prayer where you put your faith, your life in His hands. A prayer where you put your trust and your belief in Him and what He's done for you. I'm going to ask you to repeat it after me. But the cool thing is that you won't be saying it alone. Even though there was many hands in this room, there will also be a lot of others that will say it out loud with you. Showing you, again, it's not just lip service, showing you their support, because we are a family. The family of God. So those that raise your hand, and also all the Jesus followers that support, say this after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for your love, for your care, for your grace, and for your mercy. Jesus, I put my trust and my faith in you and you alone. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, that you rose from the grave. And so I ask you to forgive me. Come on, say that again. To forgive me of every sin. Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. You are my Lord, you are my Savior, and you are my friend. I surrender all. Holy Spirit, help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen and amen. Come on, somebody, amen and amen and amen. We love you, Lord.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcov.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcov.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.